Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 118 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network. And also Fanatics, delighted to say, joining us today. Must be on about his, what the hell, what are you on now, Callum, about your 10th opinion or something like that? You're on every other week at the moment, aren't you? Because Pete's got a new puppy, so he's waylaid. So like to say, Callum White's back on the show today. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the Blues, obviously, yesterday's win in the FA Cup and obviously the tactical setup of the manager as well. So hopefully you've got a few notes on that, Callum.
Yeah, all good.
Excellent, mate. Well, let's just jump straight in. Obviously, we've managed to get through to the fourth round of the FA Cup after we made it difficult for ourselves against Hull, coming through in the end after extra time, thanks to Andros Townsend goal to come through 3-2. So, yet again, Callum, before the game even kicks off, we look at the starting 11. We saw a debut for new signing Mikhailenko there at left back, but the man just gone for a back five and a midfield two again. We questioned against Brighton, it worked against Chelsea, but we questioned against Brighton, it didn't work. And we go away to a championship side who are currently sitting 19th. And we're right to question again, aren't we? Because yet again, it didn't really work, did it?
No, and it's infuriating to watch, isn't it? Because obviously we had Alan and Gomez in central midfield. And you just feel like when you play in that formation, if you come up against even a half-decent team or even like yesterday against Hull, you feel like they're just getting dragged out of position. Every time your team's in possession, they're getting dragged around and they're getting made to look like bad players. But when in theory, they're either outnumbered 3-2 or a 4-2 in central midfield. And I think, like, again, the setup yesterday was a mad one. Like, to play Coleman as a right centre back, Kenny on the right. I just don't see the need to do it. It gives you less options ahead of the ball when you win it. It does. It really limits what you can do. And obviously, with Rondon up front at the moment, it's like we can't even play a ball into him. Because for me, he can't hold the ball up well enough. He can't get off the ground. He can't win flick-ons. And if he does win a flick-on, there's no one ever near him to run through. It's just a really negative formation. We play against Chelsea. Maybe we play against the top teams, five at the back. But going away to Hull, everyone was just infuriated by it, including myself.
Yeah, and like you said then, in terms of trying to get ourselves playing out, it causes problems, doesn't it? It really does, because we're finding ourselves all the time 3-2 in midfield, not in our favour. And, that third body is so important to helping us actually navigate. If we've got to plough from the back, help us navigate out from that particular position. Because how many times yesterday did we, I think it was 12 times, just from something I just read really quickly, Michael Keane went long 12 times.
Yeah.
And, 50% of those times that he went long, it didn't find one of our players.
I think with that, though, with him going long, I just think we haven't got the players in central midfield to be able to either one the mark, but they're not quick enough to get on the ball. Like Alan, he'll get the ball when he's unopposed. But when you've got someone breathing down his neck, he's not the type of player to wriggle out of a situation and get on a half turn and play a ball. We haven't got, and we haven't had for ages, a midfielder who's quick. You've got that movement in midfield, that rotation of midfield players to move to have different variations to get on. We just don't have that. It's so static and one-dimensional at times. It's untrue.
Yeah, mate, we don't have anybody to get on the ball in the half turn, do we, and drive?
No.
You know what I mean? I think, you know, dare I say it, we've been linked with Ross Barkley. He's the type of player that could do that when he's on form. You know what I mean? But I think I do agree with you. I think I thought Gomez at times looked like the only one that could, you know, a lot more relaxed on the ball. Whenever you received the ball in tight spaces, he kept it pretty well. But you are right. I felt so sorry for Alan yesterday. I thought Alan had overall had a good game, but he was absolutely blowing out of his arse at the end because he was doing the work of two people, really. I mean, he's running around everywhere. That's what he's good at. We know he's good at sort of pressing the ball, winning it back. But the thing is, if they get past him, because, you know, he is relatively easy to dribble past because he hasn't got that pace.
Yeah.
Then there's just absolute acres in behind him.
Yeah.
And what I don't get, and we've said this briefly before, but, you know, all the pundits and Jermaine Genus and all that were highlighting themselves. They could watch Everton for 5 minutes and see what the problem is straight away. Just like we can as fans when we watch it. Yeah. The same problem we had against Brighton, the same problem we had when we played Watford in, you know, in those final moments when they scored 4 goals in 10 minutes. How can he, who's supposed to be this lauded tactical genius, not see that that's a massive issue for us? It's like a massive issue. Yeah, you're playing Hull City and you're setting up against Hull City, you know, with five at the back. Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to John Joe Kenny, but he should be getting nowhere near that first 11.
No.
You know what I mean? And I know he's had 2 assists in 2 games, and fair play to the lad. You know, he's never really been that bad of a crosser of the ball. It's the rest of his game that I don't think's up to it. But you know, and Coleman slotting in at right centre back, and that just drifting around, walking, you know, not even keeping his shape, and they were playing balls down the side of him in that first half, like with ease.
Yeah.
And then I just don't understand why he can't see it, that the midfield lads are just getting absolutely battered.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because in those sort of games, and we showed it in spells in the first half, you know, you want to control the game, don't you? Just control the game. Just control it. Even if you're knocking it around and not really penetrating the opposition, just keep the ball, take the sting out of the game. You know, class will tell in the end. Because, you know, I said to you, Mike, you know, there's, you know, we have got enough, we had yesterday, certainly on the pitch, enough what I would call flair players to create something. You know, we showed it, you know, Gray created 2 or 3, you know, brilliant opportunities, sometimes for himself, obviously scored a lovely goal. So if we could just have a solid base behind them and just let them not go and play, we'd have won that game with ease.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know what you think, mate.
Yeah, well, we keep on, you know, the disappointing thing is, and I said this, I think it was last week, your layman fan can see what Everton's problem is, especially with this back five. And even in a 4-4-2, our problem is we don't have enough bodies in the midfield and we get played through. It's happened too often this season as it is. And if a manager can't see that, you know, and I don't want to keep on going about the manager because it's boring. It's really boring because we're saying the same things week in, week out, because, you know, the manager's making the same mistakes for me. And people would have more respect for him if he actually just went, right, yeah, I can see that. Let's have a midfield three in there from the off. Let's not change it after, you know, an hour. Let's go in there with a 4-3-3, especially away to Hull. You know, let's free some bodies up in the midfield. You know, we haven't, like you said, Callum, we haven't got a midfielder, have we, who sits? We haven't got a midfielder in that kind of mold who can sit, take the ball on the turn and you know, let's progress from there. So that needs to be addressed. You know, I think if we've got any kind of targets left in the remainder of the window, I would prefer someone who's going to sit in that midfield as a number six. That's my personal opinion. But we're seeing it week in, week out. We're seeing what the problem is. And people who are football experts at the club are not seeing that problem. Or if they are, they're being too stubborn to change it. And that's what's getting fans' backs up, is we see the lineup yesterday. Before we even kick the ball, people are thinking, well, hang on. Why are we playing five at the back again? Why is Seamus Coleman playing centre-half? Why is Kenny in the side? Like you said, Lee, you know, you're okay. 2 assists in 2. But he's not the standard that we should be looking to have in our side week in, week out. There's no need for him to be playing week in, week out. And the manager just doesn't seem to want to go out there and take a game to a team, you know, especially in FA Cup away to a Championship side. They were struggling. Go out there, stamp your authority on the game as the Premier League side and make it a comfortable win. And we then could have then got on the likes of Patterson, could have got a bit of time. Lewis Dobbin could have got longer than he got, you know, if we were a bit more comfortable. And, you know, do that, but we're not seeing it. And that's the disappointing thing, isn't it? But yet again, yesterday, Callum, after the manager said before the start of the game, he asked about, you know, Everton starting slowly and obviously giving the first goal away. And what was his advice to the team? And he said, well, don't do it today. And within what were we, 2-3 minutes in, they scored the first goal. You know, when we played the ball out, it was Mikhailenko to Demarai Gaia. Watched it back because we thought that maybe the ball wasn't really on. But for me, the ball was on. We had a bit of pressure on his back slightly, but the ball was on. And then Gray's given it away, fouled the man. He got a free kick and yet again, set piece, Everton can't defend. And, you know, early doors were inside 2 minutes. We're 1-0 down. And we're putting ourselves yet again, Callum, in a position where we're having to try and fight back to get back in the game. And it's these kind of mistakes that we're seeing week in, week out, going hand in hand with the tactical mistakes that are being made as well, which mean people and fans aren't happy. And, you know, there's no surprise that the pressure on the manager is going to continue to grow.
Yeah. I think this, before going on to that first goal, I don't know what it is, but even under Carlo Ancelotti, the amount of times we went behind first, even under Silva, this has been going on for years now, not just under Benitez, it's gone on for a long time, just not starting off well, giving ourselves a mountain to climb, going behind in the first half, having to come back second half. I don't know what it is. It seemed like a deeper root to a problem, and I don't know what it is. But yeah, that first goal, you know, the problem that I have with watching Everton at the moment is I think that the football's terrible. But we don't control, like you said, Lee, we don't control games. We don't look like keeping the ball. Whether that's down to how our intensity is, whether that's down to the players not being able to move quick enough, or whether it's down to the formation, or all three. But that first goal yesterday, we had a chance to get out of an area to play away from pressure, where there was, I think, 4-2, they were on us, to play to someone. We didn't. We tried to dribble it out, whatever we tried to do, misplaced the pass, giving the free kick away. And straight away, I'm thinking, they're going to score here. Actually, text me, mate, they're going to score off this now. And they did. And I watched the back, and it's weird. I know, like, you have your centre-backs marking the biggest players sometimes and whatever, but we seem to think that the ball was going to the back post. So we sent Keane to the back post, and we sent Godfrey, probably our two best headers of the ball, to the back post. And then we had Rondon and Mikhailenko marking players within the 6-yard box in the centre of the goal. Now, if I'm a manager there, I don't want Rondon as the central player. I don't want Mikhailenko as my central player neither. I'd rather let Rondon go to the back post and have my central defenders, who are central defenders, to defend in between the goal when the ball comes in. Because as soon as that ball comes in, Rondon can't get off the ground. Mikhailenko's lost his man 15 seconds into his debut or 45 seconds in, and he scored. While meanwhile, Michael Keane's at the back post and Godfrey is, and the ball didn't even go there. So the setup to me just seems mad, in my opinion, for that goal.
Yeah, mate, I agree with you. I mean, first of all, you shouldn't be giving a free kick to an opposition who are going to be clearly up for it in the early stages. Games on TV, under the lights, at their home ground, BBC gagging for an upset. You know what I mean? So the first thing you do in those sort of games, we all know that, is just take the sting out of any game, quieten the crowd down, keep the ball, just do the simple things really well. And, you know, the ball got played back to Keane off the kickoff. Now, 9 times out of 10, he'll just hit a diagonal, won't he? A little diagonal, try and win the header, whatever. And he, for some reason, you know, they've probably tried to give Mikhailenko a first touch. And they've gone to Godfrey, from Keane to Godfrey, to the kid. And then he's obviously looked up. There's nothing on going forward. He's looking at going square, checks again. Then he drags it back in and plays. Gray's obviously then shown for it now. So he's played it into Gray's feet. The guy's right up Gray's backside, nicks it off Gray's toes, and then all of a sudden they're floundering then to try and win the ball back and give a free kick away. And then you're like, how on earth has this even happened here? You know what I mean? Like, that's this absolute schoolboy right there.
Yeah.
And then obviously, like you've just said, you won't go over it again, but the detail on the free kick, you just think, like, more often than not, the ball's going to be in the central area. And, you know, the young kid's got underneath it, hasn't he? And then Rondon's not even jumped.
No.
And then if you look at the lad that's put it in the net, he's probably not over 6 foot.
No.
You know what I mean? So you're just thinking, what an impetus to give them there. And then, you know, not long after that, their big lad, Eves at front, he scores from across, and we were all over the show. Absolutely, yeah.
That save at 1-0, that Begovic tipped over the bar. He said, yeah, that one in there, that was game over, you know. That was game over.
It was, yeah. We just started so little. And you mentioned, you know, what is it that we started? You know, I said at a stat last week, you know, we've conceded out of the last 15, well, including this game now, 15 out of the last 21 games, we conceded the first goal under Benitez.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just ridiculous for me, that.
Yeah.
How can you, you know, against Brighton last week and against Hull this week, where, in my opinion, we're the better side. You know, if he wants us to play counter-attack football, that's fine against the better teams who are going to want to dominate possession. But exert, you know, stamp your authority, like you just said there, control the game. You know, just, I know, look, Benitez has said the same as Carlo before him. We're not the best at playing through midfield. You know, we haven't really got the best ball players, other than maybe Gomez, maybe things like that. So therefore, you know, we are designed maybe to go a bit more direct. But not against teams like that. We can still keep the ball.
Yeah.
If you keep the ball, you know, we, like we showed with the goal, the two goals that we scored, which were lovely goals, we actually kept the ball for a period of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We played that extra pass. You know, the second goal, obviously there, Gordon's got it in a nice place. We kept the ball well. Gomez has done a little shimmy. He's got a yard, given it to Gordon. It's opened up for a shot. He's gone to shoot. He's feigned the shot, played it into Kenny, and it's a nice little ball. It's a good goal.
Yeah.
It's the sort of goal you'd expect from Man City, that, getting in behind the full-backs and clipping it in. It's a goal. So, you know, that's how we should be playing, for me, all the time against, you know, teams that are inferior to us.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he's got it, you know, he's got Michael Keane in bloody, like, you know, Franco Baresi balls from bloody, like, from centre-back, you know what I mean? I know he's capable of hitting the odd diagonal, and he cuts across it and things like that, but, you know, if that's your main form of attack, Michael Keane,
yeah,
diagonals, yeah, to a lad that can't even hold the ball up or win a header, then no wonder we're bloody losing games.
I know.
It's almost as if, though, at the moment, the two players who are not so much a leveler, but who we're relying on, are Damari Gray and Anthony Gordon. They're the two. In that setup where you've got five at the back, you're relying on those two doing something. I mean, Damari Gray, yet again, I thought was terrific. He was the difference, to be perfectly honest. His pace, he ran his backside off. He certainly felt it, hence why he came off in extra time. But look at his goal. What a touch that was to bring the ball down, first of all, to get things moving. Lovely, lovely little interchange with Anthony Gordon, who every single week now that I watch him, I feel he's improving. You know, he's always had that commitment, but now he's combining commitment with output. You know, his last three games, he's had, was it 2 assists, 2 goals? So he's now contributing really effectively. You know, lovely little ball into Gray. Never any doubt when he's gone through, he's going to stick it in the back of the net. And, you know, those two in that system are vital. But that's wrong. We shouldn't have a reliance on a young kid who's coming through the ranks, who's still very, very much learning about his game and developing. And also, Damari Gray, who's playing a lot of minutes, you know, he's our top goal scorer, I know. But we shouldn't just be relying on these two players. We should have more than enough within the squad, especially against the likes of Hull in the FA Cup, to go there and be a lot more comfortable. But that all stems from the system that we set up in from the first whistle. And that's the thing which really, really gets to me. But to try and be a little bit positive, if it can, how good was it to see Callum Andre Gomez get a goal, only a second goal for us since he actually signed? We say it all the time, we've always been fans of Andre Gomez. We understand he's been inconsistent. We understand he's had injuries outside of his leg break. He struggles from that side of things. And we understand he doesn't get played in his rightful position. He needs to be played further forward. But how good was it to see him break into the box yesterday, diving there to get his goal? Totally, totally deserved, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great goal. And it's very, it was sort of, he put his head in there as well, whereas some players would try and get out of that. He's probably put his head there, but he could have got took out. It was a great late run to the box. Great ball by, it was Kenny, was it? Yeah. He put it in. It was a good move. And, you know, if we do go to three in midfield, you know, the three in midfield there, if we had Alan, Gomez and Decore, that's not a bad midfield three at all. It's not bad. And if we get Richie back and Calvert-Lewin, you know, there's competition there for places, isn't there? But at the moment, we're playing five at the back, two in midfield, and the, you know, we're not having enough of the ball. Like they're the home team, but they're in a championship. They had more possession than us yesterday, 52% possession, which is mental. Like we should be going there with at least 55-58% possession, coming away there easily winning 2 or 3 nil without breaking a sweat. And in the end, we end up going to extra time. I'm relying on the Townsend Worldy to get us through. Under Gomez, I thought he was really good. But as I said, I think it was really a lot harder for them, Alan and Gomez, due to our setup. He struggled sometimes to get free because they were doubled up on or they were marked and there was no rotation on there to get out and, you know, try and get on the ball and make them move a bit more. So it was very static at times, but I think he done well and took his goal really well as well.
I said to you, Mike, wouldn't it? I mean, I tell you, we're on about a ball carrying midfielder, yes, but if we had someone like Garner now sitting in that six there yesterday, with Alan and Gomez in front of him, that would have looked so much more balanced. You know, Garner's got the legs to cover the ground. You know what I mean? And then that allows the others to almost be a little bit more ill-disciplined and go hunting the ball because you know you've got Garner behind you. You know what I mean? Hoovering it all up and winning the ball back because he was brilliant at that, wasn't he? Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, someone like him there would have been perfect to create more of a balance in midfield. But it's like I said, though, I mean, you've got to control these games. And we have got enough players in the forward half of the pitch, particularly with Gray and Gordon at the minute. And as you said, you've got, you know, Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin to come back. We have got enough talent up there to win games just with them. So, you know, you look at what the lad's done. Is it Bruno Lage at Wolves? Now, he's made Wolves, like, very, very, very hard to beat. Now, okay, they're struggling to score goals. You know, they played really well at Old Trafford the other day. Yeah. And they deserved a win. They scored a goal in the end. Yeah. But the point I'm saying is, in a very short space of time, he has got them very, very hard to score against.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I was expecting from Rafa Benitez.
Yeah.
I was expecting him, but you know, I thought, you know what, he's not going to play open, expansive football. But what he will do, he'll give us a platform from which to play from and to be hard to beat. And that's what Lage has done there. You know, he's made them really hard to beat. They've drawn quite a few games. But, you know, all they need now is to put it together, you know, in the final third and they'll start winning more games. You know, Wolves are having a pretty decent season, to be fair. Go on.
Well, no, with a better striker up front, they'd be probably top seven, top eight, or top six at least, I think.
Exactly that. And then for me, you know, if Benitez did that to us, he came in and went, you know what, it's going to be a bit of time, lads, but look, I'm going to make us really hard to beat. We're not going to make basic mistakes. We're not going to have loads of gaps everywhere. We're not going to concede from set pieces. But what that'll do, it'll give you a platform, lads. Damari Gray, you know, Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin, you know, the young lad as well, Gordon. You know, we'll give you a platform. You know, if you lose a ball, you lose a ball, but we'll win it back. We won't concede. And if you've got a platform then from which you know you're going to keep clean sheets in most games, well, guess what? With that sort of talent going forward, particularly the way Gray's playing at the minute, you'll win games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, you'll win games without having to bust. You know, the players coming off the pitch there, do not be surprised now. I'm hoping the Leicester game gets called off. Do not be surprised now if a few of them are carrying a few muscular injuries after that. Because they absolutely had to basically bust their balls, really, to get a 3-2 result.
It'd been locked down as well there as well beforehand as well, wouldn't it? So it'd have been loads on the legs that to carry, like, playing.
100%, mate. 100%. 100%. And I think, to be fair, you know, I mean, we were wasteful. We were wasteful at times in the second half. You know, I mean, there was times where, you know, they'd committed quite a few bodies forward. We had a few counter-attacks. I mean, Gray got caught offside a couple of times.
That was bad, yeah.
That was so annoying. There was one where there was 5v3.
Yeah.
We had to do, we would just time the pass into him. And he could have, you know, he could have skinned the guy for pace, pulled it back, tapping goal. You know what I mean? And there was just so, you know, I think you wrote a tweet, Mike, at the time, we need a third goal here because if we don't get the third goal, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And they hadn't even had a shot on target in the second half. And fair play to the lad. I mean, the ball's played back to him there after a 50-50, obviously, between Kenny and Huddleston. And that's the finish, that. I mean, I'll give him credit. That's a lovely finish with his left foot.
Yeah.
He's bent that over Begovic there. I mean, that's a great finish. But that was their first shot of the second half. So we were sort of controlling the game to an extent in the second half. I think they were tiring a little bit as well. But then, obviously, that goal gave them another burst of energy, didn't it? And then, you know, we looked like potentially the ones that were going to concede a third then. And obviously the post with that young lad who looks a good player. So you know, we had to ride our luck a little bit in the last sort of 10 minutes really, but it's just so painfully obvious for all of us as fans when watching Benitez's team at the minute. Take all the Liverpool stuff out, take everything out we had about him coming here. Obviously, you know, I'm still fuming about the whole Luka Dean situation, everything else. But if you carry on setting up teams like that, our team like this, then you know, you're basically digging your own grave, mate. You know what I mean? No wonder there's banners. It's not just everything that's going on around the club. You forced half the backroom staff to leave the club. You know what I mean? You're falling out with one of our best players. You know, but on top of all that, you're making absolute shocking tactical mistakes as well, son. You know what I mean? So he was very lucky there for me. He was very lucky there that we got away with that with a bit of brilliance in extra time.
What would have happened there if he would have got beat?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, mate, isn't it? That's the million-dollar question. Would he have gone, or is his job safe as ours? None of us know, because the club just don't tell us, do they? Yeah, I mean, they don't communicate with us. If Mashiri came out and said, you know what, no matter what, sink or swim or whatever, we're sticking by this guy because we're going to do a massive overhaul of this club, then at least where will we know where we stand? Otherwise, as fans, we fill in the narrative, don't we? We'll fill in the gaps then and make the decisions for him. And the lack of communication to me is a shocker from as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but that we've had the communication issues for many years, haven't we? And I know Everton put out quite a lengthy interview with the manager in terms of aims for the transfer window and things like that at the start of the week, which was a step in the right direction. But like you say, we don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen at the club, all sorts of things. Every single day, there's just something new, isn't there, at this moment in time? Whether it be the two new lads obviously signing pretty quickly in the transfer window, the Luka Dean situation, the issues around, you know, Yerry Mina. There's all kinds of things which are coming out of the club, and it just looks like a circus on the outside looking in. It really does, and that's a concern. You know, whether we hear any more, and we get any more official communications as the month goes on, who knows? We just don't know. But I suppose, the important thing was in the third round to get through to the fourth round, which we've done, and that's obviously really, really important. And we're going to have a quick break, and we're going to discuss, because we've seen a little bit of stick for the lad, which I thought was poor form from certain people. We're going to discuss obviously the debut of Mikhailenko after the break, but also the breaking news as we've been recording that it appears that Luka Dean is on his way to Aston Villa. So we'll be back after the short break. Welcome back to the second part of this week's Unholy Trinity podcast. Like I said before the break, we're going to have a chat about the debut of Mikhailenko yesterday, who obviously was thrown in for his debut. He'd been on Merseyside and trained for approximately about a week, hasn't played football or trained for about 15 days prior to actually his first training session with the club. And he gets thrown in. Plays as a wing back, which he isn't really. He's a left back. He's not a Luka Dean kind of type of wing back. Plays 120 minutes. You know, difficult game, of course. And I think overall, Lee, I think he came out looking okay. Probably starts a little bit shaky. You know, we've discussed already the, you know, he gives the ball to Demarai Gray. He gives the ball away, free kick. They get the goal early on. You know, he was doing a lot of things that were safe, wasn't he? He was going back quite often. You know, quite quickly, didn't really want the ball. And you get all of that. It's a difficult transition to make and be asked to go in from the start when you come into any side from a league outside of this country. But I thought as the game went on, he certainly settled. But the criticism that we've seen of him is certainly not justified, is it?
Well, this is one of my worries that I mentioned the other week when we were talking about the whole Luka Dean situation and this lad coming in. One of my biggest concerns was, he's coming from a foreign league. You know, I mean, he's coming from a league that's obviously nothing like the Premier League. And then on top of that, you're asking him that potentially, rather than slowly bedding him in 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, you know, possibly, you know, the odd cup game, once he's bedded in a bit more, you know, you'd expect him to sort of, him and Luka Dean to be your one and two. And then, as I said, you just slowly ease him in, which would be better for him. But not only that, you're bringing him in. You're throwing him in straight away. Even Benitez's own words were, he hasn't, you know, he hadn't played for 15 days. But, you know, he had to play basically, so we threw him in and see what happens. I mean, I felt for the kid, to be fair. I felt for him. You know, and by all accounts, his English isn't that great either, so that's another barrier. And then, you know, I thought, you know, he grew into the game. He was trying to get forward. But ultimately, if you're looking at early impressions, he does come across, obviously, as a more defensive sided left back, really, as opposed to a more attacking one. If you compare it to sort of Nkunku's debut, for example, when he played in the Cup last season, you know, you could clearly see this lad was an absolute athlete and was bombing forward. And we thought, hang on a minute, we've got an absolute wonder kid on our hands here. There's obviously, they don't quite see it in him defensively. Hence the reason why he's probably not had as many chances since. So obviously he really sort of impressed on debut when he played last season. But I just felt for the kid, like I said, I felt for him because he's just been thrown in there in a team that, let's be honest, is really struggling in terms of confidence, really struggling in terms of just trying to win a football match. You know what I mean? And the fans are obviously, you know, a goal away from basically saying sack the manager. So it's not an easy environment for him to come into either. And you know, the team is bereft of confidence as a whole, apart from maybe one or two players. So I thought he did okay. But yeah, you can't be jumping on his back. And I said that all along. You know, as fans, we've got to give him time. You know what I mean? You know, he's come from, as I said, a completely different league. You know, cast your mind back to when, you know, Arteta's and Pienaar's made, you know, debuts for us. And I distinctly remember Arteta coming signing for us and really, really struggling in that first half a dozen to a dozen games. And then obviously once he got to grips with the league, his talent shone through. And he ended up being one of our best midfielders, you know what I mean, for the last 20 years. So, so he will need time and it's important we give him time. But yeah, the shouts that, you know, that some of them against him were just way out of line, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know how you felt. How you felt he played, Callum. What was your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, similar to you. Really, he seems like a much more defensive player. Didn't really get forward that much. Whether that was down to tactics from Benitez or whether that's just his game. But yeah, he's what, 22, 17 million potentially got rising up to. He's going to take time to settle in. And you know, like you said, it's like, it's all good and well signing someone. And if you're going into a team that's full of confidence and battering teams every single week, it helps you to ease in them first few games and helps you get confidence. But at the moment, he's coming into a side who's won one game in 12 in the Premier League. So he's thrown in the deep end, and he's going to be up against it because we need to start winning games. So he's got to, for me, he's got to hit the ground running, but it's going to be difficult for him.
But he's not a player, though, like I said, you know, and Lee, you said then as well, he's not an attacking fullback, is he? He's not like your modern-day fullback, so to speak. He's a left-back, that's what he is. So,
but he was a centre-half converted to a left-back.
He was, yeah, he was. So he's defensively minded, isn't he? He's, you know, he's a decent size for a fullback. I think he's about 5'11" from what I read. So he's fairly tall as well.
Yeah, he's more than that, mate. I think he's like 6'2", isn't he? 6'2", 6'3", I think. Yeah. You're doing him a few inches there, mate. He's not quite Tom Cruise, lad.
No, I don't think he's 6'2". I'll find out while
he's
5'11".
He's 5'11".
Oh, is he?
Yeah. So that's 1-0 to me for my research for this.
He needs
to improve on that front.
Sorry, mate. Stand corrected.
But the point is, for a fullback, he's big, isn't he? He's a decent size, and that'll help us, I think, from a defensive setup, from set pieces, etc. But
how can I play a goal?
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, besides that first 2 minutes, yeah, of course. But I think, you know, he will play better in a back four. But yet again, like we've discussed already, we play a back five. I'm asking him, first game for the club, difficult game. They're up for it, championship side. You know, he's been asked to play in an advanced role and try and get forward, and it's not his game. So it was even more difficult for him to go and do that and be asked to play something which is a little bit maybe outside of his natural game. So we've got to all take it all on board. And when we discussed the new signings last week, we said, let's just give them, you know, have a bit of patience. Let's let them settle in. They're both young lads. Let's not expect too much too soon. But like we said, the situation surrounding the outgoing Luca Dean has caused this issue, hasn't it? We've brought a left back in who's having to be used from day one because our senior left back is on his way out because of what's gone on with the manager. So it puts him at a disadvantage almost from day one because we haven't got the time, the facility to just bed him into the squad and into the start 11 slowly because of what's happening with Luca Dean. And that's really difficult, I think, for him. And we've got to set our expectations accordingly for him and understand he's in a difficult situation. And like I said before the break, and this has come not out of nowhere, but the Luca Dean was pretty close to Chelsea. That cooled as of today. And now all of a sudden we've just seen when we've been recording that he's in advanced discussions with Aston Villa regarding a permanent transfer to sign for them. Callum, what are your thoughts on that? Because in isolation, let's just ignore the reason why he's moving potentially 6 months earlier than we thought he maybe would. So this is not about, by the way, people are getting confused with those people like ourselves who are not particularly happy with the Luca Dean situation are getting confused with reasons why. We're not saying he's not a saleable asset. We're not saying that within 6 months it wouldn't be the right time to sell him because it makes perfect financial sense to do so. We all agree with that. We understand that side of it. It's a situation around why we are where we are, probably six months early. But Callum, what are your thoughts on one of our rivals in terms of position in the league, you would think at the end of the season, fingers crossed anyway, that we do actually pick up and improve. What are your thoughts on us selling him to a club like Aston Villa?
Well, that was the first I've heard when you told me before. I thought he was absolutely nailed on to be going to Chelsea. So whatever's happened there, I have no idea. But he looks set to nailed. Villa, to be fair, they're not messing around at the moment. They're going to be a decent side, I think, because I think they're after Basuma as well, which for me is he's an unbelievable player. I think what's happened, we don't know what's happened with Dean. We know that there was a conversation, don't we, and he questioned tactics or whatever type thing, or the way that they were playing football and that kind of thing didn't suit him. And as a manager, if that's happened, there's ways to deal with it. So you need to do what he's done and forced him out and said, you're not even going to get a second chance type thing. Or, you know, it's the Lukaku situation where it gets resolved. So you don't know how much Benitez is it's probably him who's initiated it, but I think when you've come to a clash, if Dean said, listen, I don't want to play for you, not because it meant to be that he doesn't want to play for Everton, he's probably said I don't want to play for you, which means his time is up. But for me it's been worded badly that it looks like he just wants out of Everton Football Club and doesn't want to play for us anymore, when in fact he's got a massive fallout with Benitez and doesn't want to play for him anymore. And it's never been sorted out. And now he's going to go to a rival, which you can guarantee he's going to get an assist or a winner against the next time we play them.
You know what? I how vocal I'm on this, Mike, anyway. And I've been more vocal on Twitter than I usually am. We normally stay away from it. But I think the way this situation has been handled with Dean is nothing short of disgraceful for me.
Yeah,
it's absolutely disgraceful the way Benitez has handled this. And whether he's manufactured it himself to maybe try and look to sell the player who was, you know, as an asset, our main assets for me, really, are saleable assets, as we know, Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison, Pickford, Luca Dean. Now, one of them, if not two, were potentially going to go. Richarlison may still go in the summer from what we're led to believe. But maybe Benitez has engineered it. We don't know. We just don't know. But what certainly has happened for me, and I've said this before, Luca Dean had every right to have a chat with the manager and be able to sort of, hang on a minute, we're on a really bad run here, boss. We're struggling to, you know, one of my main assets is obviously my ability to get in the final third and put in quality deliveries. You've also taken me off set pieces as well, right? So by doing this, it's hindering the team, I feel. I feel, and I know some people disagree with this, that's fine, that's why we've all got opinions. In any walk of life, not just in football, the manager's door should always be open for discussion, particularly if a team is really, really struggling. Now, obviously, it's ultimately the manager's final choice. That's fine. I respect that. But ultimately, a top manager will always be open for players to have discussions with him.
Yeah.
You know, John Terry was famously like that when he was at Chelsea, constantly in dialogue with the manager saying, look, this is what, you know, think that, maybe try this, try that, whatever. And good managers absorb that information. They listen to their players. You know, sometimes players, as we know, take it into their own hands on the pitch because they feel it's not working. So, yeah. You know, for me, the way it's been handled is nothing short of deplorable. And Benitez there, particularly in that Brighton game, that was the final straw for me. And I was pretty vocal, obviously, last week on the podcast about it. But that was a final straw because we were getting so much space down the outside on the left-hand side against Brighton. And we had a right back, we had a right full-back playing left-back there. He was having to constantly cut in. And it was to the detriment of our team over the fact that he had an issue with the fact that our main left-back was sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
And that's a disgrace for me, that. The team comes first. And then he was clearly riled about it. And in his press conference the other day, that was a joke. That press conference the other day, he has split half the fan base against Luca Dean now by saying what he said. Doesn't ever want to play for Everton Football Club again. He's had words to that effect. I mean, that's a joke, doing that to a player. That's a joke. He doesn't want... as far as I'm concerned, when he signed that contract, he was willing to see that contract out with Everton, Luca Dean. Yeah. He never gave any sign whatsoever that he was unhappy playing for our football club. This has all come about from the manager. He doesn't, like you said there, Callum, he doesn't want to play for you, Rafa Benitez. I think he loves Everton Football Club. We don't know for sure. I understand that. But from what we've seen of him, the way he conducts himself, he was the vice-captain to Seamus Coleman. Ancelotti made him the vice. He's a technically very good footballer. He's a French international playing in a team that's really in the bottom half of the Premier League. He's one of our best players. And Rafa even came out, and if you look at that interview or the presser, he came out and gave a little glimpse into what he said to Dean. Because what we all know is that the French internationals all get a dossier given to them, don't they, about their stats for their clubs. Now, they use those dossiers in a number of formats. And one of the things they use it for is to be able to help them negotiate new contracts. To say, look, this is what I supplied to us as a football club, you know, and I think in Luca Dean's case, it's something like 17, 18 assists in the last two seasons, which obviously then, you know, makes him a valuable player for us. And yet, Rafa's comments to that in that presser the other day, what did he say? He said, I don't care about stats. We finished 10th. I don't care about individual stats. That's players putting themselves before the team. Well, he's given a little insight into their conversation there. I reckon Dean has said to him, look, I'm creating stuff for this team. I am one of the most creative players in this team. Other managers have recognised that. This is what I've produced for this team. And you're telling me to defend. You're telling me to sit back and defend. Now, if I was in his position, I'd say exactly the same. And I said to you, Mike, the other day, that's the equivalent of saying Klopp turning around to Trent Alexander-Arnold and saying, don't get forward, son. Don't get forward. I know you can't defend. I know that's not a great asset of your game. But just defend, will you? Don't get forward. Don't get forward. I know you've got a great delivery as well. But I don't want you to get forward. I want you to sit off. I mean, it's complete stupidity. Luca Dean's strength is his ability to get in, create a yard of space, and whipping balls. We all know that. We all know that. And he's got a dig on him as well. He's got a decent strike on him. And yet, Benitez has completely and utterly alienated this lad. And he's turned half the fan base against him, saying, okay, you never want to wear the shirt again. F off.
Yeah,
I mean, and then that for me is so divisive. It's so divisive that he's done that.
He's renowned for it, though, isn't he? By all accounts, he's renowned for doing that, though, isn't he?
Yeah, we know that. He did it with Melito. He did it with Alonso to a lesser extent. He did it with John Terry to a lesser extent. You know what I mean? What was that?
I think he's done it with Torres as well, I think.
Yeah. So we know he's got previous. This, you know, I mean, Rafa Benitez has been a club 5 minutes and half the backroom have left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, he's clearly got previous. And I don't know what your thoughts are, but I just think the way the whole thing's been handled with this kid, you know, and if we, like you said, Mike, if we sold him in the summer and that gave us 6 months or 5 months to allow to bed in this Ukrainian kid, that for me would have been the ideal situation. Now, you're asking this kid, you know, if we had Leicester on Tuesday, if it goes ahead, he's going to play, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Having not trained for 15 days, he's just played, you know, 120 minutes, and now you're going to ask him to play again a few days later. I mean, that's got injury written all over it, hasn't it?
Yeah, of course. You don't want to be bringing in any new player, really, you know, and or a lot of our squad from the game against Hull now, they played 120 minutes at a time when we've got injury issues. Obviously, COVID is still causing problems as well. So you want to try and keep players as fresh as you can. And a lot of those players have played 120 minutes yesterday. Certain players used when really you'd rather not use them. Like Decorey, obviously, was asked to come on. So, you know, we're in a difficult position with injuries, etc., as it is. But if that game does go ahead, the chances are he gets asked to play again, and that's a real concern. But obviously, just touching on the Luca Dean situation, and obviously going to Aston Villa, it's a really bittersweet moment to, you know, to actually see Luca Dean leave the club. You know, we always say you shouldn't get too attached to players, and a lot of people now since the press conference really on Friday, which was where the manager seems to get certain people on side by what he was saying. And as fans, we don't truly know what's being said behind closed doors. There's a handful of people that will know what's being said. We don't know. We know a couple of things maybe that other people may not know, and we're trying to form our opinion on that. But the disappointing thing is that you like to see players leave the club amicably. We're happy to let any player leave as long as it's to the benefit of our football club, whether that be financially, you know, or the fact that, you know, they may be going to play Champions League football, for argument's sake. In this situation, for me, letting him go at this particular point after bringing in a left-back from outside of the Premier League and then outside of one of Europe's top five leagues as well, doing it at this time to a club we were going to be fighting with in the Premier League in terms of position-wise, I think is poor. But I think we've been backed into a corner because of the situation with Dean and the way it's turned really sour, and the fact it's so public, and the manager's obviously gone further in the press conference on Friday. Chelsea have pulled out because they wanted a loan deal, and Everton weren't happy to sanction any kind of loan deal without an agreement that they would buy him at the end of it. So we're now in a position where, well, hang on, we're going to have to sell him to a team that we're going to be fighting with, because Chelsea, for example, a side who'd be pushing for the top two or three, now don't want to do a deal. They're looking to recall Emerson from loan to deal with their left-back situation. So we're in a situation now where we don't want to fall foul of any kind of financial rules. We've got to do a deal with one of our rivals. And that's the position we put ourselves in because of the circus that has gone before. And that's...
Yeah, we've strengthened a rival there. Villa signing... I mean, Coutinho, look, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't have wanted Coutinho. That's, you know, that's the type of players we don't want to be signing on big wages. I think he will improve Villa, don't get me wrong. I think Buendia has struggled a little bit since he's moved over there. And obviously, you know, Gerrard seems has had a bit of previews with Coutinho himself, so he'd probably be able to get something out of him. But in terms of left-back there, that's massively strengthening their side. If you look at the way Gerrard sets his teams up, he relies a lot on full-backs. And Matty Cash is a decent player. He's been a good signing even before Gerrard. You know, and if you look at that, his Rangers team, you know, it was Tavernier that was probably their best player. You know what I mean? And I think he was one of their top goal scorers as well.
Oh, right back. Didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So Luca Dean going, if they've got Cash on one side and Dean on the other, they're two good fullbacks. You know what I mean? Two good fullbacks. And Dean is in his prime years now. Yeah, I know. Look, he's coming. He's going to be 30 in 18 months. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's still got two or three years of top-level footy there, I think, before he starts deteriorating. And he obviously looks after himself by the looks of it as well. He's always in good shape. And as I said before, he's technically very good. Now, don't get me wrong, the signing of this young kid and Patterson, I think hopefully will turn out to, you know, prove to be really good signings. They're the pools we want to be fishing in. You know what I mean? They're the types of players we want to be signing with a potential resale value. We've said that all along. And by all accounts, and what we've been told, they're both... brands as well. They've got brands' name, you know, fingerprints all over them, these two young lads. You know, we tried to get Patterson for 6-7 million in the summer. We've gone back, paid a bit more and got him. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm not no problem with that. What I have got a problem with is the way this has been handled and the way he's being called out and the way some fans are now obviously, like, you know, deciding that he's an absolute, you know, gobshite or whatever you want to call him. So I just don't like the way that's been handled. I'd rather him gone in the summer and then, you know, I'll use this time then to allow, obviously, this young kid coming in to sort of ease his way into the Premier League. Because if he has a couple of ropey games over the next half a dozen, which he could do, by the way,
yeah,
which he could conceivably do because he's adjusting, yeah, fans could be all over him. And then that could destroy him. That could destroy his confidence early doors. So, you know, we've just got to... The fact that he's going to Villa, does it say anything on a fee there, Mike, as well? Is it comments on a fee?
Yeah, 25 mil. 25.
Yeah, between 20 and 25 is the rumoured fee. So either way, it's a profit, is what you will, the way you will look at it. Yeah,
for me, that's still a ridiculously good deal. For me, yeah, I think he's worth more 30 to 35. I think he's more worth 30. You know, he's a French international, like I said. You know, the kid's a top player. As I said before, you know, football's not all about stats, but stats is used a lot more in the game now than it's ever been. You know what I mean? And he's clearly one of the best fullbacks in terms of stats, not just in the Premier League, but in the top five leagues in Europe as well for the last two or three seasons. Yes, his levels dropped a little bit after the injury last season and he came back a bit sooner than he should have done. But the team was really struggling then because we lost Decore and we lost a few other key players as well. But before that, for me, he's been consistently one of our best players. And we're basically selling one of our best players, taking a small gamble on a young lad from another league and strengthening a rival at the same time.
Yeah. Well, just to throw into the mix as well, assuming Tuesday's game against Leicester is called off, the next visit is to Goodison Park?
Norwich. Oh, no, it's not. We're playing Norwich away, aren't we?
Aston Villa.
Oh.
So that'll be a fun environment, I'm sure, assuming that this deal goes through.
I think half of Goodison will give him a good reception, and half of them will basically because of what Benitez said.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll be Gordon up against them, won't it? Gordon against Dean down that side.
Yeah, or Gray. Gray, they potentially Gray played down the left yesterday, didn't he? Yeah. So it could be. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you are right. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. It will be more likely Gordon. Sorry. Yeah, playing down the right. Yeah.
They're quite fluid, though, aren't they? They quite often swap.
Yeah, they interchange. Yeah, they do interchange. Yeah.
That's written in the stars. They can guarantee he's going to score a worldie free kick, can't he?
Oh, mate. It'd be a 25 yarder in the top corner. You can just sit down. And then, probably, you know what? He'll run right up to Rafa and give it the cup in the ears. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
Well, it just adds more spice to a game where obviously Steven Gerrard is taking charge of a Villa side at Goodison Park for the first time. So it adds more to that game. But, you know, there's still a bit of time to go. Let's see if it develops any further or it goes any other way. There was also talk, not just about this, because, you know, apparently Villa tried to throw El Ghazi into the deal to give us El Ghazi and Everton if you want the money.
To be honest, they sent a mid decent.
The one who's been playing lately, Ramsey. Have you seen him?
Yeah, good player.
He's a talent. He's a real talent.
I think there's a player
in Buendia as well. He just hasn't settled there yet. I think there is a player there. He showed a lot of talent at Norwich.
Yeah, they've changed the formation a lot, haven't they? And Watkins has been off form. Ings hasn't been playing well, and obviously then Gerrard's come in. He wasn't playing well under Dean Smith neither, and there's a lot of change there since Grealish left, and I think they haven't got them new signings gelling yet.
But they will do under him. I hate to say it, and I've said this before, but I hate to say it, I think Gerrard's already showing signs of being a real top manager.
He's got good staff as well.
Yeah, and the way he carries himself and things like that, you know what I mean? I think players respect him and he's clearly a good motivator and things like that as well. So let's see what happens. But I think the reason why Dean's not gone to Chelsea, by the way, you mentioned the loan situation there, Mike. They've got Alonso, and obviously they've got Chilwell, so they've got Alonso's quite. He's not well loved by the Chelsea faithful, but he's clearly very good going forward. Alonso, he's just a bit suspect against the better teams when he has to defend. But they would have thought, you know, that just plugs the gap to allow Chilwell to. He's out for the season, Chilwell, anyway, with ligament damage. So, yeah, they clearly were just looking to benefit from in a weird way, I was kind of hoping almost he might go to Chelsea for 6 months.
Yeah.
And come back and then Benitez will be gone and then he'll be back in the side again.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not going to be going that way, as we said. Seems to be on his way to Aston Villa. Let's see how it develops over the next few days. But we're going to end the show after another short break to discuss our fourth round draw. We found out we're going to be facing the Goodison Park, so we'll be back in about 30 seconds. Welcome back to the final part of this week's Unholy Trinity podcast. Like we said just before the break, the FA Cup fourth round draw was made today, and we've been drawn at home against Brentford at Goodison Park. Obviously, we faced Brentford already in the league recently, actually, away from home. We got beat 1-0. So it's not a great draw. You know, we haven't got a lower league side coming to Goodison Park, but always nice to be drawn at home in any cup competition. But Callum, happy with the draw? You're pretty positive going looking ahead to that game?
Not really, no. it's one of them, isn't it? It's one of them. It's not a great draw at all. But saying that, it could have been worse. We could have got someone like West Ham or someone knowing us, which I wouldn't have liked to play because they're on absolute form at the moment. They won again before. But it's one of them is we don't really have luck, really. Like, you look at like the likes of City and stuff, they get like these bog standard draws all the time. I think them across the road just been given Cardiff at home, Cardiff City. So yeah, it's a game we can win though. I think we can beat Brentford. Like Lee was saying before, it's one of them. He started off really well, started the season, but I think he tailed off a lot at the moment. They won in, obviously third round and Bueno scored a hat trick. But yeah, I think at home, if it's like a night game as well, I think we've got a chance. But I'm hoping by that time we've got obviously Calvert-Lewin back to full fitness and stuff, and we're not playing five at the back.
Well, that depends on obviously the form we're in. You know, it's the first weekend in February, isn't it? Between the 4th and the 7th of Feb.
Yeah.
So it's not too far away, but we've still got a good probably what three or four weeks till that time, so a lot can happen. You know, we've still got the remainder of the transfer window. We're still looking to do one or two deals in terms of incomings ourselves, so it could be a totally different picture come that time. And hopefully by then we picked up a few wins over the next few games as well. But Lee, what are your thoughts on the FA Cup draw? Are you a little bit nervous like Callum?
I'm not too nervous. I should be though, considering we haven't won a game since September the 25th. But we've won one game. Brentford, when we played them over at their place, I was expecting a really tough game. Now Brentford at the start of the season, obviously they've had a few injuries since, but you know, when they played Liverpool certainly, and I watched that game, yeah, they really gave them a tough game, and they were unlucky they had a goal ruled off in the end for a winner. What would have been a winner with Tony, or Luca Tony, as I called him off air before. When we played him, I was not impressed with him whatsoever. That game was there for the taking. And obviously, we gave away a penalty. It was a bit dubious, but obviously, and that ended up being the difference between the two sides. But when we had a bit of a go in him second half, I didn't think they were great at all, to be honest. I did not think they were great at all. I think that, and the fact we're playing at home, okay, I know we've not been great, but let's be honest. If we play, if we have Calvert-Lewin back, like you said, we have Richarlison back, we actually try and play with three in midfield and four at the back, then we should have more than enough to beat Brentford, really. We should do. But the way we've been playing at the minute, you know, I'm not surprised if we go 1-2-0 down and suddenly try and start playing footy.
Well, yeah, let's hope it's not that situation, but we've, you know, it happened again at the weekend quite a few times this season. We're finding ourselves going behind and having to make some kind of recovery. As I say, difficult to obviously look ahead too far, given the month that we're in and the fact obviously transfers can happen for both sides, and you know, form can play a big part in these things. Hopefully we do go into that game in a better position than we currently find ourselves in, and that we went into the whole game with. But obviously, ideally, you wouldn't like to draw a Premier League side in a cup competition, whether it be home or away. But having home advantage is certainly a real a real positive, I think. And the cup, you know, I said it last week, you know, cup competitions need to give you a nice distraction. You know, when you're not playing particularly well, it's good to sometimes get away from the Premier League and look at something else. But difficult tie, could have been better, could have been worse. You know, we've seen a few upsets over the course of this weekend in terms of the third round, with obviously Newcastle going out to Cambridge being one example, Burnley getting beaten at home to Huddersfield. So you just never know in the FA Cup how things are going to actually pan out.
Forest, as we stand right now, are a minute away from knocking Arsenal out.
Yeah.
So that'll be a great result for Forest, that, because Arsenal, for me, since they lost to Wes, have been playing brilliant footy.
Yeah.
You know, they've really, Arteta's really got them, you know, pretty organised, and the likes of Saka and Martinelli and all that look really good.
Hasn't the Nottingham Forest manager, isn't he the guy who came from Swansea, though?
Swansea, yeah.
He's a good manager, him, you know. He's very good. I forgot what his name is now, though.
Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. But Richarlison might be back for that game, you know. It's saying he might be back. So he should be okay.
He has been pictured. He's been training today at Finch Farm. So he is definitely
15th. He's back 15th, it's saying.
Yeah, so, you know, that'll be a positive. If he can get back fit, and obviously him and Calvert-Lewin in the same side will be nice, of course. And hopefully we'll have a decently or close to full strength squad as we can for the game. But just seeing this, Forest have actually gone through and beaten Arsenal.
Yeah, so good win that for Forest. That great win.
Another Premier League side out. You know, it's always great to see Premier League sides fall as soon as possible. So it's good, but, you know, end of the day, we're in the hat, important, home tie, important, and let's hopefully get there in a slightly more positive frame of mind than maybe we are at this moment in time.
Yeah.
That's us for this week, Callum. Appreciate you coming on. Really nice to have a chat to you again.
Yeah, great to see you both. Thanks for having me on again. Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Top man. Cheers.
And we'll be back ourselves next weekend to look back on the Norwich game, assuming it goes ahead. Who knows? As I've said many a time in recent weeks, we just don't know. But we'll be back next weekend to go through that and look ahead to potentially Luca Dean's Aston Villa visiting Goodison Park. So we'll catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three Blues. Three Opinions. One Everton Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.